I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, let's see. Podcast is recording.
Okay.
Looking pretty nominal. Let's see. The humor meter is dangerously low, but nothing surprising there.
Yeah, it's generally unfair.
Hold on. Episode number. It just says 00. What's, was there a glitch? Jamie, you seeing this?
I guess last was 99, so I guess we rolled over.
Oh, finally, this buying a two-digit episode monitor is coming back to bite us in the ass.
Oh, my God.
Because this is Y2K all over again.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess we jump in the bunker, wait for the machines to take us over and rule this place. Got anything to do when we're in the bunker, guys?
We only got like 100 VHS tapes to record these things on, so I guess we'll have to start over and record over the first one with this one, right?
Yeah, we're going to have to start taping over the old episodes.
Yeah, because we have 100, but I'm not recording over my ballet recital.
Okay.
So I'm putting that one to the side, and then we'll start recording over the old one.
Is this the last VHS we have?
This is the last one, not including my ballet recital.
Woo! Happy 100th, there.
Happy 100th.
I really wish that you had told me you were going to do that so I could get that on the Instagram.
Completely forgot.
You just sprayed so much champagne into your computer. It was lovely.
Into the computer?
I mean, near the computer.
Okay.
Well, all over yourself, computer, the couch.
I'm like soaked in sparkling wine right now.
The computer? Yeah. Champagne, please.
Oh, man.
Peter, it's an audio medium. We can lie to them and tell them we have real champagne.
I am soaked in Kanye West's free champagne, favorite champagne right now.
That's Peter always gonna pre, you know?
Peter gonna pre O'Donohue over there, pouring the champagne. Hey, everybody, I'm Ethan. I'm hosting this episode of the Lore Boys Podcast. I hosted the first episode. I brought us into this world, and by George, I'm gonna take us out on this one.
That's your middle name.
By George, yeah.
Well, just George.
No, by George.
My middle name is just George.
My middle name is bisexual George. What are you talking about?
By George. Here you go, Ethan.
Thank you.
Your flute.
Yeah. My name is James.
Champagne.
Yeah.
My name's James Miller, and in the first episode, I introduced myself second, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to a bunch of episodes today to get ready for a segment that we'll have at the end of Who Said What, and we're going to bring up some outrageous quotes from...
Yeah.
All over?
I wanted to say a huge shout out to everyone who's listened, everyone who's supported us, everyone who's reached out to us. Darnell, aka Adrian. We think maybe you prefer the nickname or the name Adrian. Shout out to you for always reaching out to us on Facebook. Saucy Chimera and James, shout out to you guys on Twitter. You're always there. People listen to us who we know in real life, like my friend Kevin.
Our boy Diamond.
Our boy Diamond Gunslinger. The kid. From the Twitch channel.
My buddy Chris, who listens to the episodes only based on things he understands and likes,
which is fine.
So
that's a great reason to listen to the episodes, you know?
What's your name, by the way? We didn't get to you.
I'm Peter O'Donohue.
I introduced him.
Soaked in champagne.
Oh, did you?
Okay.
It is too bad that I didn't warn you, but I wanted to pop in like while you were talking as part of the bit, and I thought that would be more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the machines
change.
Were attacking.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
I am going to change, though.
100 episodes, a couple years later.
Holy moly. Oh, I've already been sipping this, by the way. I don't know if I was supposed to do that before.
No, we're too far away to cling. Just cling on your mic for the Foley work.
Cheers, guys.
That's gonna sound terrible. Yeah. That's all gonna sound terrible.
100 episodes,
and we still haven't learned how to do Foley work.
Well, it's not really that kind of show, is it?
Okay. Let's all drink deeply of the champagne. Mm-mm-mm. 10 seconds of dead silence while we crush these bad boys.
Oh, that's actually really nice.
To magic robots and ancient rocks, or whatever the fuck we normally say.
Yeah. Yep. Scanning through, I heard a lot of ancient.
So I guess anybody who's looked at the title of this episode, you know what we're talking about, and you know that there is going to be ancient robots on this episode. So I guess prepare your can.
Yep.
We're going back to episode one.
In the spirit of not having enough tapes, we're just going to redo the first one.
Exactly. We're starting back over. Next week is Borderlands.
Team Fortress 2
is next.
Then Borderlands.
The week after that is Borderlands.
Then Mega Man.
Yeah. No, but I'm going to redo Legend of Zelda, because the first time we did it, it was like almost 3 hours long. The audio quality was really crappy. And we're going to talk about some different things, a lot of the same things, a lot of overlap. But it's also really hard to find that first episode because it's not on our Pippa stream.
Yeah.
So you basically have to go to our SoundCloud, which we don't even know where it is anymore.
Or our YouTube channel.
Or our YouTube, where it is available on our YouTube, youtube.com/theloreboys.
Yeah,
you can find it also on loreboys.com. There's a link right to the YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the video is actually embedded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've got a couple little facts here for the opening of the 100th episode. Mm-hmm. A little bit of information from our own Wikipedia before I go change my shirt, because it's cold and wet.
And whose fault is that, Peter?
Mine.
Mm-hmm.
You got me so excited. So technically yours.
Okay, yeah, fair. All right, fair. I'll take that.
Boom.
Lawyered.
Yeah, exactly. So the first episode was The Legend of Zelda, and it hit the internet on May 30th, 2017.
Wait, the first episode is The Legend of Zelda? The 100th episode
around.
Is The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah,
it's like that thing I just said.
Actually, I don't need to adjust this number, because I was going to say including this episode. But even with this one included, we have covered the lore from 60 different universes.
Oh, yeah. That's a cool stat.
Yeah. So we've done, obviously, Team Fortress, Legend of Zelda, Warhammer 40K, which I separated.
And 55 other.
Yeah, and the rest.
That's pretty crazy that there's 40 episodes that are, of the same universe, then. There's a part twos or coming back to the
I've
same
done six
universe.
Battletech. Yeah. He's done 5 or 6 Magic the Gathering.
Oh, yeah. Slash D&D.
4 or 5
yeah.
D&D. You've done 4 or 5 WoW easy.
Yeah,
plus
yeah.
the Hearthstone, which I didn't count as separate.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
No, that's the same universe.
Warcraft,
for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's 4 altogether. Mm-hmm. Or 5. Yeah.
We could honestly probably combine Warhammer and 40K as well.
Oh, well then.
We talked about it a bit on our Age of Sigmar episodes.
60's close enough.
Yeah, 60.
It could have been 69. I'm just saying, we need 9 more universes, guys.
Well, that should be easy.
Yeah, and then we cap it off there.
Yeah, exactly.
And we only talk about the same shit.
Wait, there's...
Then I never have to talk about anything that's not Battletech ever again.
Yeah, or Dungeons & Dragons, for me.
Thank God.
We could just make up 9 universes right now. Universe where nobody has pants. Same one like this, but no pants.
Universe where everybody owns their own petunia.
Oh, that's a,
oh,
nice,
that's
one.
A nice one.
I like that one.
Yeah. It oxygenates the room.
Universe where sausages are every meal of the day.
Universe where people are every meal of the day.
Okay. Universe where fingers are knives. That's a scary universe.
Universe where most people are in wheelchairs and they have stair accessible buildings as an exception.
Okay. Kind of flipping that one on its head.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, where all the good parking is actually really far away for people who can walk.
Universe where everything is just mirrored to this universe. So it'd be just really confusing if you went there.
Like my
here.
Cowlick goes in the other direction.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My God, I'd be hideous.
Universe where you drink water with your butt. You just like squat in a puddle and drink it up.
Okay.
And you're like, all cups are really wide bowls.
Oh, sick. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. You eat everything else and drink everything else normally. It's just water.
Okay. And for our last one, a universe where everybody just bleeds confetti.
Oh, okay. That's a fun way. Fun murder parties.
You gotta ring in 69 with the confetti.
I was just thinking about the grunt birthday party from Halo 2.
Okay, yeah.
So another little factoid, since we started, we passed our 100 YouTube subscribers and got our custom URL.
Nice.
Okay.
YouTube.com/theloreboys. Mm-hmm. The YouTube channel actually has managed to rack up 3,142 views as of today, even though not even all the episodes are up yet. I'm still uploading them.
Okay.
We've been downloaded in 34 countries.
Okay.
I like
today.
That one.
That's cool.
And in total, at this time, our hosting site, Pippa, who are wonderful, we have been downloaded 43,603 times.
Woo! Nice. Pop the champagne! Peter, now. It's the perfect time.
Dude.
It's the perfect time to pop the champagne.
I gotta wring it out of my shirt.
Yeah, if you divide that by 2 years, like, however many days that is, that's, like, a lot of downloads per day, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like you, at least four, I think.
And
if
you took our listening time, I did this at one point, that if you took all of our listening time of our viewers listening to us, it would be like 7 times more than the actual time that passed, kind of thing, or something like that, or 2 times more.
Okay.
I should have actually done that this time.
Well, now, looking back,
I found some really interesting information people might have wanted to hear.
Yeah.
I fucking forgot about it.
Well, if you take 47,000, you times it by 1 hour, 47,000 hours, how many hours in a year, kind of thing, right?
526,800 minutes. That's how you measure it.
Oh, I know that song.
Yeah, it's from Rent.
Yeah. I know there's 18,400 seconds in a day.
Okay.
How many years in a year? Hours in a year.
Extrapolate from the second number I just gave you. Come on.
Or the first.
Divide by 60, divide by 60, then you get hours in a day, which we don't know what it is yet.
In daylights, in sunsets, in something, in cups of coffee.
In Battletech years.
Oh, it's the same universe.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
Okay, so does the 60 include everything that's canonically just an advancement of our universe? Because, like, the Dead Space universe was technically just our universe in the future.
But it's
different. But the moon's alive and eats people.
Yeah.
It only, the moon turns alive when we find the Helix Stone.
Okay, whatever, fine. I also included JFK conspiracy as a different universe.
Its own universe?
Right? Yeah.
Oh, honestly, that one's fair. That one's fair. I'll give you that one. Yeah. I'm saying Dead Space universe might be our universe. The JFK conspiracy one, probably not our universe.
The only actual our universe that we did was Santa Claus.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, the JFK conspiracy is...
And the Loreboys episode.
Yeah, I was going to say,
the Borlois episode.
The Borlois Loreboys hour?
Yeah.
I skipped that one.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, 60 different universes.
I have a fun fact.
Okay.
This is our 100th episode. We've recorded more than 100 episodes.
We have.
Yeah. And we have no idea how many more.
At least 3, because today there's...
E3,
April Fools.
And we did 2019 E3 as well?
No, we didn't.
Oh, we didn't do E3 this year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because E3 is not evergreen, and basically nobody fucking listens to it. So
yeah, fair.
We just didn't bother.
None of us watched it.
Because we have 103 episodes on the website, meaning, E3, Borlois, and then some other one.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the website, we're missing Legend of Zelda as well. Although not after today!
You did the announcement whenever we were gone for a while, saying, hey guys, don't worry, we're coming back.
I deleted that one, though.
Oh, yeah?
It's not important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I thought it was important, Peter.
Yeah.
We're not on a break.
All right, well...
Hi, everybody. Peter's going to change his shirt, and I guess we'll be right back after the break. This is all staying in, by the way. This is good content.
Yeah.
I wish you would have got your shirt closer to the mic so we could have heard the sound of you putting on. Could you just, like, ruffle your sleeve? So when we come back from the break, it sounds like you're putting on your shirt.
Can you rub your body hair against cloth for us? Oh. That's good stuff.
Wow, I'm so dry and clean.
Oh, God, I just came so much when Peter took his shirt off. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Jamie, can you smoke a cigarette for me?
I finished my last one on the way here.
Cool, thanks, man. Thanks.
Nice,
thanks.
Nice, yeah. Cool. Sick. Cool.
So, our story begins this week with three goddesses.
Jamie, Peter, and Ethan.
Yes.
Yeah.
they're from Venus. They're your Venus, they're your fire, your desire.
Nice. If I repeat myself at all in this episode, remember, I made those other jokes 2 years ago and don't remember them.
Yeah, 2.5, honestly. Mm. Coming up on 3.
It's courage, wisdom, and power.
That's it.
Okay, yeah.
Din, goddess of power. Neru, goddess of wisdom. And Feror, goddess of courage.
And you say I don't remember stuff.
Well, let's see how much you do remember. like I said, there is quite a fair amount of overlap with this episode and our original episode. I don't feel bad about it. And if you at home are mad about it, tweet at me. So the three goddesses would create the land that would become Hyrule. Before time began, before spirits or life itself... The universe was chaos. The three goddesses descended upon that miasmatic churning and began creating the world. Din, using her strength, created the material realm, that which could be moved and influenced by her power. Neru, seeing the need for purpose, gave the realm law and order. Finally, Feror, in her love and compassion, created all life forms who would follow Neru's order.
Aw, that's a tall order there.
You guys knew this because you've played Ocarina of Time.
I have.
It's the cutscene with the three goddesses in Ocarina of Time. That's where this lore comes from.
Oh, okay. Oh. I never finished that game.
Same.
I have an existing save, presumably somewhere in my buddy's garage, on, on an N64 cartridge somewhere. Okay. Ongoing since 1998.
I just remembered Ethan almost finished it, but then his brother deleted his save file, right?
Twice
that happened.
Yeah.
The first time...
The goob?
Goob. First time it happened, my little brother was six-ish, I think, like young.
Old enough to know better.
No, not old enough to know better the first time. Okay. So he was just like young, and he tried to play Zelda, and he deleted my account where I had all 8 medallions, and I had just opened up Ganon's Fortress, and I was like, I gotta go to bed and go to school tomorrow, and then got home from school, and I was like, what the fuck? The second time was years later, the same part, all 8 medallions, and opening up Ganon's Fortress, and we got into an argument, and he maliciously deleted my save file, knowing that that would hurt me more than any insult he could think of.
Ouch.
Yeah. That's such a specific...
I got that close twice. I beat Ocarina of Time for the first time maybe three, four years ago.
Oh, my God.
I bought it on the DS, and I beat it on the DS.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I know a lot more about Ocarina of Time speedruns now than I did 2 years ago. I've watched a lot of it. And it's some of the ways that they get through Ganon's castle is insane.
It's just bananas, man.
Yeah.
I still have your copy of Shovel Knight for 3DS. That game fucking slaps.
Yeah, you can borrow my copy of Ocarina of Time if you'd like.
Oh yeah, that's true. I should probably finish that game at some point before it turns 30.
Their labors completed, they didn't stay long to watch their creation flourish. Instead, departing for the heavens. All they would leave behind was 3 sacred golden triangles representing a small portion of each of their essences.
Don't worry, the people of Earth will understand this.
Yeah.
Three identical triangles.
They finished their high school volcano project and they just fucked off for college.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's how school works.
That's it. That's what Ganondorf never knew, is that if you get the Triforce and you put vinegar in it, it fucking it just erupts, dude. It's so cool. Like, it's the coolest fucking thing. No, it's the Triforce, which I assume a lot of our listeners know, but anybody who doesn't, like Peter said, it's 3 golden triangles kind of touching each other.
It makes one big triangle when you put them all together.
With like an empty space triangle in the middle.
Yeah.
Wait. Really?
How many triangles in this photo? Only 2% of the population can figure this out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's like Hylian Facebook.
Yeah, triangle plus banana equals 6, but triangle times banana equals 7. How can this be?
Even
shrugging minion. Yeah.
Even mathematicians can't get this one.
Yeah. So they left the Triforce, this tool of ultimate power, in the hands of the goddess Hylia, as the Triforce could only be used by a mortal, and they needn't fear the other goddess misusing it. Hylia and a legion of spirits and fairies were entrusted with the protection of Hyrule.
Nice. It sounds really peaceful and like there's no problems.
There's no problems. They're like, we're leaving. We're going to leave a weapon of mass destruction. Cool. Cool. We're going to go though.
Keep an eye on it.
Keep an eye on it. You, the goddess who we trust with keeping the realm safe, here's this tool, this weapon that grants wishes that'll let you do a whole bunch of stuff. You can't use it. Only mortals can. Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
We're keeping the keys.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe could I just get like a backup key to this triangle thing just in case? Maybe
on a mat for the planet or something.
Yeah. Now, being an artifact of divine origin, it should come as no surprise that the Triforce was instilled with great power. Specifically, this power came in the form of reality altering and wish granting abilities.
Just like wafers and wine in our own reality.
Yes, exactly like that.
That's what that's for, right?
Yeah.
You make a wish.
If you eat the body of Christ, then
you make a wish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, you drink the wine and then you throw the cracker in a fountain, I think.
Yeah, off your thumb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you flick it into the fountain. And
if it lands Jesus side up.
Jesus side up.
In the water, your wish grants.
Yeah.
And on the other side, there's like a beaver or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's what? It's heads and like bloody palms?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Bloody palms are the tails of the Jesus.
The crown or stigmata.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. I get it, yeah.
The limitation that only mortals could use the Triforce was apparently intended as a way of giving mortals hope. Like the lottery. If I just put my head down and work hard enough, maybe someday I'll get lucky and a reality-shaping artifact from the gods themselves will drop into my lap and I can finally tell my boss what I really think of them.
it's like the lottery. It's that's actually, like, inciting...
Yeah,
like crusades to get the Triforce because like with the lottery you can't win if you don't play.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
that's fucking ridiculous.
And people spend their whole some people obviously spend their whole paychecks on lottery or whatever. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
$100 a month into my 401k. Fuck that.
Fuck that. Yeah, I'm gonna invest in the $300 million jackpot or whatever.
Exactly. Because
if I win it, it won't matter if I invested at all.
Yeah, exactly. It's sad and a terrible thing. You guys, whoa, I paused and you guys were both drinking at the same time. That's bad podcast etiquette. You guys should make eye contact before one of you drinks.
No, well, I think we had to think about how many people waste their paychecks on.
Oh, it was a moment of silence. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My bad. Yeah. No, I'm the asshole for talking through it. I got you. In these early days, in the land known simply as the Surface, Hylia ruled as a fair and caring goddess. She presided over the various races that existed at the time, such as Gorons, the Kikwis, the Magma, the Aqua.
Kikwi. Yeah.
Kikwi is the forest tribe in Skyward Sword. So all of this game, or all of this episode, is explained in flashbacks in Skyward Sword, which is the first canonical Zelda game.
Okay. Mm.
So it's the beginning of the timeline.
Right. That's why they live in the sky, and the surface is like an untamed wild land of bloodthirsty monsters.
Yeah. Of course, sort of.
I have not played this game.
Well, we'll get into what it is. I played it. I beat it.
And then Link gets tuberculosis and dies at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Like the end of every Zelda.
Yeah, exactly.
I've played that game since the last time we recorded this episode.
So the Kikwis are the forest tribe, and they're like these like penguin type birds that are like really fat, and some of them are like really really big, and some of them are like really small.
Are they hairy on the outside and green on the inside?
No, they're furry. I don't get the joke.
Sounds like a kiwi.
Oh. It's Kikui, though.
Kikui.
Totally spelled different. Like kiwi with a K in the middle. The Magma, which are like dog people. They're like dingoes that live in magma.
Cute.
So dog magma. Magma.
Oh, magma.
Yeah.
I see what they did there.
There's the aquatic tribe is all they're known as, but they're not Zoras. They're more like Octoroks, the
octopus things?
The octopus things that shoot, that pop out of the water and shoot at you.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, ancient robots. So,
fuck yeah.
Shall we, for old time's sake, we're going to finish our non-alcoholic beverages.
Oh, that's good.
I went from their Jambo.
Yeah, I went from drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon to
on our first episode, Pabst Blue Ribbon to drinking champagne.
Yeah.
Shall I? You want another flute there, Ethan?
No, I'm going to stick to beer for now. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll keep going with the flute.
Certain wines upset my allergies. Fun fact about Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan can drink an apricot beer and then his throat gets itchy.
Mm-hmm. 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 I can drink all sorts of beers and my throat gets itchy. If they're really hoppy beers, like they have a lot of microbrews, filter less to make them like more flavorful or whatever, and those ones tend to get me. I have a pollen allergy that is oral as well.
Oh, oral.
No eating flowers for Ethan.
No. Yeah. No sucking bananas for me, if you know what I mean.
Because he's allergic to vegetables.
Penises are fine.
If you know what I mean.
All the races. All those races plus humans lived in relative peace during this time under the watchful eye of Hylia.
Burbs, doggos, fish,
squiddos,
gorons,
and robots.
Okay, so a fetish for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. All the robots were shaped like feet as well. So it works out.
Nice.
Giant foot bots.
Oh no!
I love when it wags its big toe at me.
Oh no.
Do you guys know the different maneuvers for foot fetishes, like of moving in and out of shoes?
No, do tell.
I can thankfully say I have absolutely no fucking idea.
There's dipping, okay. And that's whenever you like put your foot in and you go into the shoe.
Heeling?
There's popping.
Oh, that's where you
pop the
heel out.
It's like heel popping. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that is hot.
And, into or out of the shoe?
It's like in and out. It's like kind of you're like a secretary absentmindedly like moving your foot in and out.
But now that you put it in the context of a secretary, now I can understand how it's a sex thing.
Yeah, I got this.
Yeah,
from
no,
Dan.
My secretary hands, man, when he puts his shoes on.
Yeah, I got this from Dan Harmon's podcast because I guess his sexuality popped when he was playing under the table while he was like Ant was popping in and out of his shoe. But
he's got a foot thing.
Yeah, he's got a foot and a mannequin thing.
That's
and a nylon thing.
Well, a mannequin thing. The robot feet would really do it for him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, you should play some Zelda.
Yeah.
So this peace, this relative peace, I should say, would all come to an end, however, with the emergence of... Do you guys remember who?
Oh,
fuck, yeah. It's...
It's not the G guy.
No. Does it start with a Z?
No. It's Demise.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, I was close.
Yeah, that's a little, like...
Demise being the villain.
Yeah,
the
yeah, that's
Skyward
it.
Sword.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. With the parting of Din, Nehru, and Feror, the Demon King Demise saw the Triforce for what it was. Hope. Albeit, aww, he saw it as his hope to conquer and enslave all the world for his own means.
Yeah, hope is like in the eye of the Be-Hopler.
Be-Hopler. Very good, very good. Demise lived below the surface, in the darkness beneath the world with the rest of the rejects, and seeing the goddesses leave, he decided to take this chance to seize the Triforce. A fissure appeared along the surface, and from there poured out Demise's demonic hordes.
Demise,
so,
demonic.
We have a guy. We have three goddesses.
Yeah.
They made a world.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice. They left another goddess in charge.
She fucked it up.
I don't know if she fucked it up, or if the three goddesses, known as the Golden Goddesses, the Golden Girls, fucked it up. Where they made this world, and they called it the Surface. And apparently the world had a part under the surface where they were just like, yeah, sweep all the ugly people down there. Just like all the demon hordes. You got Demise himself just down there.
What about those big foot-shaped robots? No, no. Leave those up here.
Yeah, no, no, no. Yeah. I need those. Yeah.
Under there is just Zoroldo, like this deformed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Zoroldo and Danky Kang.
And kill Wonk. Me. Yeah,
yeah. So Demise and Lonk, then?
Demise and Lonk are living below the surface.
Sanic.
And Demise sees the Golden Goddesses leave. And he's like, well, I'm going to gather an army. I'm going to convince all the other rejects down here that we should go up to the surface because there's sunshine up there, and sunshine's nice. Hylia did what any reasonable person would do when a demonic horde is rampaging into your home and killing your children in an attempt to steal your favorite pendant.
Destroy them.
She gathered what humans she could on a little outcrop of earth and placed her pendant upon it with them. Then she sent it into the sky out of harm's reach.
Oh.
So this was the Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
You start in a town called Skyloft.
Right.
Which floats above the clouds. And this is the creation of Skyloft.
I've played okay. That part. Yeah.
So she was like, oh, there's demon hordes coming. I have six different tribes of people whom I should love equally as my children. I'm going to take my favorite one, put them on a rock, send them up into the sky.
Well, now we have the hindsight that we've done the Lord of the Rings episode where there is also the chosen race by the gods.
Yeah.
Which is they're like the elves.
It's very much so. Hylians are humans. Mm-hmm. Technically, Link is a human. Zelda is a human. But they have pointed ears.
Pointy freak ears.
Like elves. But they're considered humans. And Hylians are just the humans that are closest to the goddess.
They're just humans that wore special shoes on their ear for long enough that...
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Shape their ears. They wear, like, special rings on their ear when they're born. Exactly. They do it to babies. It's fucked up.
Yeah, it's a stretching thing.
Yeah. Hylia would even create a barrier of cloud to separate the sky from the world below.
Now she put up a hedge wall around her gated
community. Yeah, exactly. She wanted them to have some privacy up there. Now that humans, obviously her favorites, were safe, she would take the remaining five tribes and go to war with Demise, because, you know, these lesser peoples, they should fight for her.
They're expendable.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
The fodder.
Ah, good, he says, sipping from his flute of champagne.
Wielding her sword and her harp, Hylia led the forces of the five tribes against Demise's forces of darkness and drove them back. Hylia found what she called her chosen hero during this time, and he would fight at her side to drive back Demise's forces.
All right.
I wonder who the chosen hero could be.
Well, not one of those dirty foot things or the fish people. It's probably a human.
Probably one of her chosen people. Eventually, the forces of good would overcome the forces of ugly, and Hylia would would drag Demise's spirit back to the site of her own temple, and she would bind Demise's spirit to the ground there. So she's like, beats all the ugly people, takes their leader, and says, like, I'm putting you in timeout, mister.
Yeah.
She takes him back to her temple.
Leader of the Uggos.
Binds him to the ground there. This area would come to be known as the Sealed Grounds, and the Temple of Hylia would fall into disuse and come to be known only as the Sealed Temple.
Okay.
Because while the forces of good may have won, Hylia was injured gravely and needed to formulate a plan in order to ensure the evil demise would actually be contained. She needed a miracle. Now.
Oh, no. Is this where Lank comes in?
This is not where Lank comes in. We're gonna
Lank.
We're gonna jump into the meta a bit here.
Okay.
Kind of diverge from what we talked about on the first episode. Throughout the series, there has been a mysterious force at work, mentioned in several games, but never officially recognized. We know the identities of many goddesses, but there is one goddess who perpetually evades identification: the Goddess of Time.
Oh.
It's totally that fucking accordion dude in the mill.
Yeah, the mask salesman. He's the mask salesman in Majora's Mask.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the game with the most prevalent use of time travel.
Yes.
Majora's Mask resets the same 3 days over and over, and you just try and complete as many tasks in those 3 days as you can, and then you wake up at the clock at the tower in the center of Clock Town is what the town is called.
I got to play that game one day.
It's one of the ones that like people either hate it or love it. I don't think that
I like Wind Waker.
I think it's a cool mechanic. I don't enjoy the fact that you can lose a lot of progress really quickly.
It's an added layer of stress when you're in a dungeon that I personally feel like I do not need.
Yeah. Okay,
you know what I mean? I'm already stressed out in these dungeons trying to get the puzzles done and everything.
It's like Iron Man and XCOM. It's just like, why torture yourself?
Why do this to yourself?
But you can do these really cool time travel-y things where you like alter something and then go back and then like experience it a different way, which is a really cool mechanic at the same time.
I think it's one of the more compelling stories in a Zelda game.
Yeah.
Where you're interacting with the same people through like different loops, and like you'll interact with them on the third day of your first loop and you'll learn something about them. So you'll go back in time and like buy the flowers that they like, so that when you interact with them on the second loop, all of a sudden they have like a different reaction to you.
Yeah, okay.
So, and especially for like, you know,
how did you know I liked posies? It's like, I watched you die.
Especially for like a late 90s game or like mid to late 90s game, it was like a super interesting concept and like very unique in a lot of senses.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I hated like being in a dungeon on the third day with, you know, you have 3 hours left and I'm just like, I don't want this. Yeah. Give me more. I need more time.
I played something at the beginning where you have to do like hide and seek with a bunch of little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted
to get into their gang.
Yeah. And
Link joins a gang.
I ran out of, I was getting close to the end of time. And then, so I felt like I wouldn't have enough time to actually complete this and then reverse time. So I felt like after a certain point, anything I did was useless.
Okay.
And it just turned me off from wanting to continue. You know?
That's good. I think it instills a sense of ennui and dread, which is probably exactly what they wanted.
It does seem more like up your alley, honestly. When I think ennui and dread, I think of you, Peter. Yeah. So.
My taste in games, especially.
Yeah. I do think it is a good game. I do think it's a game, if I revisited now, I might enjoy more.
Yeah. But with your affinity for FTL and Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, maybe I've just been like I've worked my way up there a bit more.
Yeah.
So throughout Majora's Mask, the game that we're talking about, where Link is forced to endure Groundhog Day-esque repetition of the same 3-day cycle, it is the Goddess of Time's power which allows him to reset the clock. So Tattle, which is your fairy throughout Majora's Mask, beseeches the Goddess of Time when she is grabbed by Skull Kid at the first encounter with the villain of Majora's Mask.
Okay.
So Majora's Mask starts right after Ocarina of Time. As you guys might remember from the first episode, the timeline of Legend of Zelda splits at Ocarina of Time.
Right, yeah.
It splits into three different branches.
Yeah.
So this is the first branch on one of the splits.
Young Link, Adult Link, Deadbeat Dad Link.
And this was, so a lot of it was retconned, right? Like, they just kept releasing games and then filling in patches?
Then they released an official timeline sometime after the fact that said, like, this is the order that the games go, and they confirmed that the timeline split.
Congratulations, you insufferable nerds, the book.
Yeah, exactly.
You did it.
So you run into Skull Kid, who I think is probably the most iconic non-Ganondorf villain from any Zelda game. For sure.
Much more iconic than Demise, considering we got that super fucking wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Or the train from Phantom Tracks or whatever it is.
Yeah,
the train game with the train villain.
I thought you were talking about GTA, like that one train.
Why couldn't you just go catch the train, CJ?
Yeah, Wong Side of the Tracks. Yeah, yeah. Everyone hates that one in San Andreas. Yeah.
So in Phantom Hourglass, the game which succeeds Wind Waker, the Golden Goddess Feror is represented by the spirit Ciela, the spirit of courage and time. In Ocarina of Time, the Golden Goddess Nehru bestows her Triforce piece to Zelda, the Sage of the Temple of Time, perhaps indicating the goddess who created the laws of science rules over time.
Ooh.
So, I'm going to say, full disclosure, we're out of canon territory, boys. We're into Lore Boys canon territory.
Deep into Lore Boys canon. Did we start episode one with Lore Boys canon? Have we been rewriting fake history throughout this entire process?
I want to say Lore Boys canon. Yes, we have.
Fuck yeah.
We didn't call it as such, but we speculated since the first episode. Yeah.
Speculation is, that's just weak sauce. That's no-name brand.
Yeah.
Lore Boys canon.
Lore Boys brand.
Mm-hmm.
Speculation.
LBC.
Yeah. TM.
So we have a mystery goddess. And now we are Long before the events of Skyward Sword, with the Demon King demise barely held in check by Hylia's wards, the goddess Hylia decided on some radical action. She skateboarded down a half pipe with her hat on backwards. It was very cool.
Fuck yeah. Oh,
radical. She would need to use
Tony Hylia, this pro skater.
Yeah. Great soundtrack. She would need to use the Triforce. Now, anyone who's been paying attention may see the hiccup in this plan coming.
Yeah.
Do you guys see it?
Is that a weapon of mass destruction?
Wait, I thought the goddess.
Oh, she's not human.
The she's a goddess.
Can't fuck.
Use it. Goddesses yeah. can't use it. Yeah. Jamie got it. Jamie gets a point for upcoming Who Said That game.
Dang.
Yes. I'm the host for that one.
Yeah, I know. You're going to have 1 point by the end of it.
Fuck.
So, what are the odds that Peter and I get more than 1 point?
Pretty good.
Just saying, realistically.
There's like 25 of them. You could just by 1 in 3 guessing get like at least one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if I guess Bugs Bunny was the original person on every single quote.
All right.
Will I get 1 point?
That's up to you, I
guess. He was only on one episode of the show.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
There's not a really good chance.
Our episode on Albuquerque.
Yeah, exactly.
a deity cannot use the Triforce. It was explicitly
she knew this though.
It was explicitly given to Hylia to ensure that whoever was using it
it's
was
like
a mortal.
The tag off a mattress. They tell you not to do it.
But you're gonna do it. It was to ensure that whoever was using it was a mortal worthy, as they would have needed it to take it from the goddess herself. So the goddess would have had to give it to somebody worthy to use it. Hylia realized that in order to use the Triforce, she needs to forfeit her divinity. Her injuries were too severe to contain demise indefinitely, and trying would only weaken her further. And so she created Phi, who would live inside Hylia's sword, the goddess sword, which she would store within a statue to herself in Skyloft.
That's that blue and purple thing. From Skyward Sword.
Yeah, from Skyward Sword, exactly. Hylia then abandoned her powers and divinity in order to transfer her soul to the body of a mortal, a being capable of using the Triforce, and thus circumventing the clause in the Triforce's contract, which prevents her from using it.
Didn't think I'd think of this, did
you? I'm not sure if it's worth it, to be honest, though, to give up immortality just to get your revenge in that one moment.
Well, because she knows she's going to... She knows demise is going to break free and consume her eventually if she keeps trying to contain him.
Does she not transfer her injuries as well?
It's a Hail Mary.
No, she kind of gives herself up and says, like, it's going to, my future self is going to be reborn at some point.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
So, like, she's not investing,
basically.
Yeah, she's not waking up as somebody reborn in the future and saying, like, yeah. Oh, it's me. I'm back, bitches.
That other goddess, Cialis, will give some guy enough spirit to make another god or whatever.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Cialis would make them make the chosen hero very hard when they meet.
What's her name though? The one of spirit. It's close to Cialis.
It's pretty close to Cialis. Yeah.
What is it though? I forget. It's Cialitris.
I lost it. Why can't I see it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, me neither. Anyway, this was short a time ago. Wait till we get to the Who Said What segment.
Ciela.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Sorry. So Ciela is the goddess Feror in the Phantom Hourglass.
Okay.
The servant of the goddess Feror in Phantom Hourglass. Different person. So she creates Phi, who lives in the sword, then abandons her powers, transfers her body. Phi would guide her chosen hero, who would also be reborn through events she set in motion. And Hylia herself would
she transformed into Tinder and hooked his parents up?
Yeah, exactly.
Hell yeah.
Hylia herself would be reborn at a time appropriate to ensuring demise stayed incarcerated. She entrusted dragons to watch over the surface in her absence.
They're so fucking greedy, though.
These aren't Tolkien dragons, so...
Oh.
And left them each with a piece of the Song of the Hero, something which would unlock what one might call game progress.
Huh.
What progress?
Video game progress.
I don't understand these weird mythological terms.
Yeah, so basically there's four dragons, and as you progress through Skyward Sword, you go to these woods, and there's a dragon at the end of them, and he gives you a piece of the Song of Time.
You
go to these mountains, and there's a dragon at the end of it, and he gives you a piece of the Song of Time.
They're not bosses, are they?
No.
As someone who's nearing endgame in World of Warcraft, I have been chasing that video game progress dragon for a little while.
So, Hylia then surrendered her immortality as goddess and let herself be reborn as...
Zelda.
Zelda.
Zoroldo.
Linkas were born.
Yeah, sorry, excuse me, I said it wrong.
Yeah, Lonkas were born as their chosen hero, and the two set out to enact Hylia's plans.
Let's go.
come on, Lonk, we got a Hylia to say.
They're fun, the me face.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is he deaf?
Zelda does not immediately have all her memories of her time as a goddess. And throughout the events of Skyward Sword, she must pray at various altars in order to regain them. So, like, the Skyward Sword starts, and it's like, there's the girl Zelda, who's your best friend. You're playing as Link.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not a goddess. What are you talking about? Then a tornado shows up and throws her out of the sky, through the cloud barrier, down to the surface. And she's like, wakes up, she's like, well, I guess I'll go pray at the temple. And she gains some of her memories back of her time as a goddess.
Oh, okay, Shucks. Cool. And then you follow her down, right?
Yep, you go. Well, you go to save your best friend or whatever. Yep. You find the goddess sword. You find Fi, who is the spirit within it, and you two. And she's like, "Yeah, you better go save her. I'm not going to tell you why, but kind of important that you save that girl."
Every time she hits a major milestone, I'll update you.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know why that's going on.
Exactly. If you're puzzled for what to do, I'll give you something that's really unhelpful as a tip of advice.
Yeah, people hate Fi, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I would say like a lot of the Zelda like helpers, like Navi, when it's like,
yeah,
you're trying to beat the water temple, or you're trying to get through the water temple, and you need something to unlock like the opening thing. And you're like, there's some piece of the puzzle that I'm missing because there's somebody you haven't talked to, and you like ask Navi, and she's like, well, we should go to the water temple. And you're like, I know, it's locked.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get there.
Where you have a
standing
bottle
outside.
Yeah.
You have a bottle that something needs to go into, but there's like a million items. Like,
yeah.
Last I heard, we got to fill that bottle with something.
Yeah. You're just like, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The reborn goddess and her chosen friend encounter various portals through time, arranged conveniently for them, which allows Link to jump back and forth between the past and present in order to ensure the continued imprisonment of Demise.
Oh, okay, do you, like, hop into the past and just, like, reset the egg timer every once in a while?
In Skyward Sword, it's more like you hop into the past and you gain... You're hopping back to this, what's called the Ancient Battle, which
okay.
is the original fight between Hylia and Demise.
Okay.
You're jumping back to that time, like, in or around that time, and, like... piecing together the bits that I've already told you guys.
Yeah.
So you're seeing like glimpses of it and saying like, oh shit, there was this guy Demise who got imprisoned by the goddess Hylia. Wow, that's crazy. It seemed that with that each step taken by Girahim, the servant of Demise seeking to free his master, he's the bad guy in Skyward Sword.
Sounds like a dragon from Skyrim.
Girahim.
Yeah.
Girahim.
It seems that each step taken by Girahim only serves to further Hylia's plans. He throws Zelda from Skyleaf, but that only brings her closer to her old memories. He sends Link through a gate of time that only leads him to the harp, and so on. So he finds Hylia's harp. A lot of Legend of Zelda games feature an instrument.
One of the most recent ones that came out, that was the whole thing. You're collecting instruments. Link's Awakening?
Mm-hmm.
Each dungeon, you collect an instrument. And
oh,
at
yeah.
the end, you
oh, really?
Play like this big song that opens up.
You wake up the Sky Whaler, the Dream Whale.
There's a fish you gotta wake up.
Dream Fish.
The Dream Fish.
Cloud Fish? Skyfish?
We're going to call it the Lore Boys.
You collect
fish.
The harp as well at one point.
Yeah. Swedish fish.
Yeah.
So in Skyward Sword, the instrument's the harp.
Yeah.
It's what Link learns the Song of Time and all those
yeah,
other
that's
songs
what he
on.
Shreds on in this one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Every move the servants of Demise make seem to be perfectly orchestrated to ensure the heroes of our adventure end up where they need to be.
Uh-oh, I hope this wasn't all in the plan.
Almost like some divine foresight. Eventually, Link defeats Demise in the present, but an enraged Girahim travels back to the past to attempt to free his master there, only for Link to have the perfect gate of time to confront the newly previously freed Demise.
I'm confused. What happened there? So he beat him in the present, one comes from the future to the past, and then Link beats him again?
There's no future, but we're just going to use present and past.
Okay.
Link defeats Girahim and Demise in the present.
Right.
Girahim is, like, all pissed off, takes over Zelda's body.
Okay.
Opens a gate to the past, which Link is able to follow him through.
Okay.
Where he's able to defeat Demise once and for all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For the big leagues.
Got it.
Demise did, however, manage to consume Zelda in the past, only to be defeated by Link in the end. So Girahim goes back to the past, using Zelda's body, opens a gate to time.
Like Ratatouille piloting it?
Yeah,
kind of thing?
Okay. Pretty much. Goes back to try and free Demise there. Frees Demise there, but Link manages to follow him.
Okay.
And Demise captures Zelda in that moment.
Okay.
and Link defeats Demise to free Zelda. With Demise's last breath, he curses Link and Zelda. Though this is not the end, my hate never perishes. I will rise again. Those like you, those who share the blood of the goddess and the spirit of the hero, they are eternally bound to this curse. An incarnation of my hatred will forever follow your kind, dooming them to wander a blood-soaked sea of darkness for all time.
Holy shit.
Oh my god. Then a fucking pig wearing a crown just turns into Ganondorf.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's like some Norwegian guy painted white with black makeup as just like...
Yeah.
Sorry, just a quick thing. Do you know anything about the link between Princess Zelda and Sheik? Is like her being consumed turning her into Sheik or anything? That's not mentioned, right?
Princess Zelda is Sheik in the video game Ocarina of Time.
It's just a disguise.
Oh, it's like her Batman.
Yeah, okay. It's exactly that.
Oh,
exactly. So in Ocarina of Time, when you're running to save Princess Zelda after you've gathered the original three stones that you need to open the Temple of Time,
yeah.
Ganondorf rides out of the city. Of Hyrule City with Zelda on the back of the horse.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You can skip to the end of the game right there if you're crafty.
Oh, yeah. Well, you run to the Temple of Time. You open it up. It turns out it was a ruse. Ganondorf, like, left the city, then followed you back in and used you opening the Temple of Time to access it himself.
Oh.
So you realize the only way that you can stop Ganondorf is to travel into the future after he's conquered everything. And in that time, Sheik has escaped Ganondorf's, like... When Ganondorf came back to the Temple of Time, Zelda got away, and she went to the mountains and learned to, like, she studied with the Sheik people and became who you know as Sheik in the game Ocarina.
Okay, yeah, she trained to be a ninja, basically.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah. She did her Bruce Wayne Batman.
Yeah. So she caught all the chickens and threw them into the fence in under 30 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they do up in the mountains.
Yeah, whatever you need for the peace of heart or whatever.
Yeah.
So Demise curses them. As you guys know, like, his spirit is going to go on to be reincarnated as Ganondorf in every game.
Yeah.
This conveniently sets up most other Zelda games, which take place in the future. The cycle of rebirth is probably the main theme throughout the Legend of Zelda franchise. Through time immemorial.
It's like a different body, but a new the same spirit, different body every time.
Yeah.
Zelda X, hatred never dies.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for, like, fucking... Zelda Sea of Blood.
Yeah, yeah. So through time immemorial, Hylia's chosen hero, often referred to as Hero of Time, is reborn to battle ancient powers intent on capturing Hylia's power and using it to nab the Triforce for their own wicked ends.
Cool.
Demise would consistently be reborn as the force of all-encompassing greed, which wants to get its grubby little fingers on the Triforce.
Yeah.
So he utters this curse, which allows him to be reborn for all time. How can you do that?
Yeah,
he's
tell
magic,
me what the curse.
Demon.
How can you
tell
do
me
that?
What the curse is so we can do it?
Yeah, yeah. I just told you. All you got to say is an incarnation of my hatred will forever follow your kind, dooming them to wander a blood-soaked sea of darkness for all time.
Can you just change hatred to love?
Yeah,
yeah.
I wish
can
you would.
Can you change hatred to podcast?
Can you change hatred to masturbating?
Whoa,
That's my idea of love. That's self-love. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Demise and Hylia would each be reborn in mortal souls, with the Hero of Time ever being the force which tipped the scales the way of good. I believe it is through the temporary consumption of Zelda and indirectly Hylia's soul that Demise is able to make good on his promise.
Oh, because he had like a little sliver of time goddess power or whatever, then used that to actually create a cycle going on and on and on.
His
and on
permanent
and on.
Cycle of rebirth. So what Hylia was able to do and say, like, I'm forever going to be reborn to fight the forces of darkness.
He did that with
Ganondorf
her.
Captured her in the past before she made the before she gave up her divinity. So before she had predicted this future, and he created his own cycle of rebirth.
Oh my goodness.
So through the spirit of Hylia, who I will say with some degree of certainty is the goddess of time. She has never been confirmed as such, but given all the evidence, I think it's fair to say that that's been her role in all things. So, Hylia was a goddess.
Yeah.
She had the Triforce, and she saw what she needed to do.
Right.
She needed to give up her divinity and start this cycle of rebirth. I think it's the fact that they traveled back in time before she did that, where she was still the goddess of time, and they had a fragment of her power, but just from the future, that Ganondorf was able to do this. I think the goddess of time in Majora's Mask, who gives you the power, or the spirit of Celia, who they think is Faror in Phantom Hourglass, is actually Hylia back in the past, right after that ancient battle, just looking into the future.
Cool.
And saying, like, these are all the things that I need to do to ensure my favorite people.
That's awesome.
The Hylians. Yeah. Keep going.
I have to mention, guys, this show's 100 episodes of experience. We would never let Ethan just talk and get his cool thing out and listen to him 100 episodes.
Yeah, no, proud of us. That's growth. That's growth.
Yeah.
That's us stepping out of the time machine here.
Yeah.
If the only two episodes you've listened to are our first episode and then this episode, boy, it must be a shock. Hylia was able to ensure she was reborn and was able to see the future clearly enough to lay out clear instructions for Link through Fi, the spirit of the sword. Even Fi would seemingly be reborn countless times as Link's advisor, something most Zelda games have.
Yeah, Owl, right?
Well, Owl's not so much.
No, I'm getting it.
But there's like Navi, who's the fairy.
Yeah.
There's Tattle, who's the other fairy. There's Ciela, who's the spirit in Phantom Hourglass. There's
Owls?
The boat, who's the king in...
the Lion King or something?
Yeah. The Wind Waker.
Owls are pretty prevalent, though. Link to the Past...
Absolutely.
Or, sorry, Link's Awakening?
Yeah.
The owl kind of guides you to each dungeon.
Then maybe in Link's Awakening, it is the owl who's been reborn as the spirit.
Yeah.
Okay,
Fi.
Cool.
Zelda, in Ocarina of Time, gives Link the Ocarina of Time. And it's Link's memories of Zelda, which allow him to learn the Song of Time. So it's literally... This is reinforcing the supposition that Zelda / Hylia is the goddess of time. Because Link, to learn the Song of Time, literally remembers Zelda humming it to him when they were a child. Or, like, in the past.
Okay.
She was in her garden, and she was humming the song, and when Link has to play it for the first time, he remembers her humming it.
Yeah, okay. He watched her fingers. It's like CCA, CCA, CCA.
Exactly.
up, left, down, up, left, down, something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
So, it's after the events of Ocarina of Time, when Zelda gives Link direct access to some of the powers of time through the Ocarina and Song of Time, that the timeline is fractured.
Mm.
So Link, being a naive fool who historically has only been good for swinging a sword, is suddenly put in charge of the powers of time, and he makes a royal biffing of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
So all this time, everything's been going good. Zelda gives him a bit of power over time in Link's Awakening, or in Ocarina of Time.
Oh my god.
And this is the only time when the timeline fractures. This is the only time where he has... quote unquote direct control over it. He has a Song of Time in Majora's Mask, but it's explicitly said that it's the god. He's praying to the goddess, and the goddess is resetting things for him.
The guy who's hammering nails is just put in charge of like the budget of the country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm good at counting nails. I figure I can count this.
Yeah, exactly. Holy fuck,
you peasant boy.
Yeah. So the timeline fractures.
Can you read? Not important.
Yeah, I can read numbers. So the timeline fractures based on three outcomes of Ocarina of Time. Link's defeat, Link's success, where he returns to being a child, and Link's success, where he remains an adult.
Yeah, okay.
So those are the three fractures of the timeline. Okay. Link succeeding, stopping Ganondorf's plot, returning to a child, is where Majora's Mask starts.
Right.
Link succeeding, remaining an adult, is where Wind Waker's the next game in the series, where he lives his life, he passes on, is reborn in the future after Hyrule is flooded.
Okay, yeah.
And there's the legend of the hero of time, and then you're actually that as the...
Exactly.
Yeah, and you put on his Halloween costume for that celebration or whatever. It's like, here, put on your green tunic, because you think Link is so fucking cool, Link.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know that over time, everything turns more cartoony. So.
Exactly.
Yeah,
this is true.
As we age, we get far more cartoonish.
Yes.
Yeah. Then there's the one where Link is defeated by Ganondorf, but the Seven Sages still manage to seal away his power. Okay. So Link dies fighting Ganondorf, but the Seven Sages still manage to defeat his power.
So they canonized the game over.
What
screen,
is that?
Basically.
That leads to a Link in the Past.
Really?
Which goes into Link's Awakening, the most recent reboot or remake, most recent title.
I would have guessed a Twilight Princess, just because it's kind of darker and stuff, and Link dying seems kind of dark. But okay.
Twilight Princess follows Majora's Mask.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so adult Link, when he grows up after Majora's Mask, he goes into TP.
I'm not sure if it's the same Link or if it's a new
Link. Oh, okay, okay.
Either way. Might be, might not be.
What's the most recent game?
Link's Awakening. The remake of Link's Awakening.
No, chronologically.
So there's the three timelines.
Right.
So it would be The Adventure of Link, which was Zelda 2, The Legend of Zelda 2, the second
game. Okay, yeah. Apparently that's really bad.
Is the latest game. It's like a 2D platformer.
It's like Castlevania.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's Four Swords Adventures, which was GBA games.
And which is a cool idea, but you had to have four friends with individual games and also link cables to all four people to play it to its
link
full
square
potential.
Yeah,
to play
exactly.
With four fucking people.
For a full potential, yeah.
Or, so the hero's defeated, it's the Adventurer's Link. The child timeline, it's Four Swords Adventures. And the adult timeline, after Wind Waker and Phantom Hourglass, it's Spirit Tracks, the one with the trains.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's
he just learns
thing.
To drive, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you made that up.
To conduct a train. The train is not the bad guy, but trains, talking trains, are a prevalent theme throughout the game.
it's a DS game?
I think it might be DS.
Yeah, it's Thomas the Tank Engine Zelda.
It is exactly that, yeah.
Didn't even have to mod him in this time.
Thomas had never seen such bullshit before. So that's a revisit of game series, which has recently revisited one of their classics.
Cool.
If they can re-release their games, we can re-release our podcast. God damn it.
Exactly.
We're just as good as Nintendo.
Yeah, I'd say we're at least as good as Nintendo.
Yeah.
Cool. So I guess I'm going to pull up my emails here where I emailed myself some quotes. So this is the Who Said It segment. I went through close to all of our episodes today. I have them all in vinyl. So I would just put the vinyl down and I'd drop the needle in a random place.
Okay.
And I'd find a fun out of context quote.
Did you try spinning any of the records backwards? See if there were secret messages?
I did, but then this thing called Demise started talking to me I just
that's
stopped it. Yeah.
Play all the BattleTech episodes backwards. You get a really good recipe out of me.
Since we're going back in time, I'll go back in time and crack a cold one on air.
Oh, dude.
Sounds refreshing.
That's a throwback to our early episodes.
Yeah. We used to say, what are we drinking today? And then we would talk about it. There's one where we were drinking like coffee and whiskey at like 10 a.m. I forget what we recorded
yes.
That time.
Oh,
I remember we stopped and we bought Irish cream and Peter bought whiskey because he can't drink Irish cream.
Yeah.
Because he's a lactose free boy.
Yeah. Not anymore. I have the pills.
He's got the pills for it.
Can't
now.
Be stopped.
And largely, like, we don't drink as much during the podcast now.
If at all.
We had some sparkling.
I'm going on two tall boys and a couple, or one glass of champagne.
So. Yep.
I'm going on. Splitting the rest of that champagne with Jamie.
I drove us down those spirit tracks of the olden days. So
yeah.
I got us where I need to be. Now I get to be a drunk asshole for the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
It's great.
So I encourage you guys to play along at home. If you want to keep score and let us know how well you did, that's totally fine. If you just want to play along for fun, I think this is a lot of fun.
Facebook, email, Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll give you guys some random quotes. If you want to send us some random quotes that you enjoy, I think there's a lot of funny ones. So I'm going to start off from the earliest episodes, starting at episode 2. I didn't do episode 1, but we covered it today.
We just did episode 1. So, yeah. Peter, hit us with a quote from today's episode.
Hylia.
That's it. That's a quote. That's a good quote. Yeah. I think I said that. I think that was me that said that one.
The ancient robots are all feet.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I was going to do a goof where I wrote down a quote from today and put it at the end and asked you guys who said it to see if you got it, but I totally forgot.
Until just now.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways.
Well, we did the goof anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah. So we're going to start with the old one and we're going to work our way forward to closer to now.
Okay.
And it's either, it's the one of the three of us that said it, maybe, and you guys got to guess who it is. We're not going to do a buzzer or anything like that. I just want to hear who you guys both think it is, and I'll tell you afterwards. If you guess the episode, I'll give you bonus points.
Cool.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Can I cash those in for favors later?
favors, he said, with an eyebrow raise.
All right. So the first one, guys. The quote is, you can make the new Wheaties to give people sex changes.
So it's not just between me and Peter. It could also be you saying this.
It's all, any three of us, yeah.
Fuck.
I want to say you. I want to say you
I'm
for this
I'm going to say
one.
You, yeah.
It was Peter.
Fuck.
But it was to me because we were talking about...
that's a good one. I thought that was you. Yeah.
No, we were talking about different people having names and them becoming that profession because their name is that.
Okay.
And it was something in Team Fortress 2, and I'm forgetting the context now, but my last name's Miller, and I said, yeah, I could be Miller, and I could just do a mill, and we were making jokes about Wheaties to give people sex changes before.
Okay.
So you're sure. Like, you can make the new Wheaties to give people sex changes.
Okay. Good.
All right,
good.
0-0 right. For you
I'm
guys.
I'm going to enjoy this game. That's a strong start. Fuck.
All right. So this one, I'm going to replace, we were talking to one of the lore boys. I'm going to replace it with just him because it's going to X out one of us.
Okay.
So I love the idea of walking into a Hooters bathroom and seeing him on the floor with his hands in the air screaming, no!
Ethan said that.
I want to say you said that.
Ethan said it.
Fuck yeah.
And it was to Peter because Peter went to Hooters that had gender neutral bathrooms.
Yes.
And it was just too confusing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Peter's on the floor
I knew that couldn't have been me because I know I got like bamboozled into going to Hooters once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were making fun of how Hooters of all places was so progressive.
That was in Loreboy 7, How to Turn Your Metroid into a Super Metroid.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Next one.
Did you write down our ridiculous titles with them as well?
I did, yeah. I put the number and our ridiculous titles. Awesome. So if you guys want to go back and find those yourselves, you totally
Chef's
can.
Chef's kiss, dude.
Yeah.
This is brilliant.
I've never had the heavy girl with goggles fetish.
Well, that can't be me because I've definitely had that fetish.
I said that.
Yeah,
Peter did
that.
Say that. Yeah. In,
that's a steampunk thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Remember the context. Yeah. So it was Loreboys 8, 2 Kirby's 1 Cup.
A stupid day for an episode.
Oh my god.
This is just us masturbating for the next like 20 minutes. Yeah. So I hope you guys at home are enjoying
Buckle up.
Well, Peter misspoke and he said Steam Boys instead of Lore Boys.
Okay. Oh, no.
And then we started saying, oh, we're steampunk. And then Peter says, no, we can't be steampunk because I've never had a fetish for heavy girls with goggles.
Oh, got it. Okay. That fits Peter.
Oh no. Oh, fuck.
Did Jeremiah Fink invent the poop emoji?
I have so many questions.
I know who Jeremiah Fink is.
Was this our emoji movie episode?
No, it's BioShock.
BioShock, but we went off about emoji movie for like 3 to 5 minutes.
Fuck.
Okay.
Did you say that?
Ethan said it. Ethan said it. And that's Loreboy 12, the aquatic... Life with Ayn Rand or something like
Ayn
that.
Rand, okay. Yeah.
Ayn Rand, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the BioShock episode. It's the 12th. And we talked about TJ Miller for a long time.
Okay.
And we were talking about the different things he was in. I was a fan of him 2 years ago, apparently, because I had a lot to say about him. I don't know what he's doing now.
He's a bad person now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's calling in bomb threats on trains and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit. Full crazy.
Yeah, he
went fully off the rails.
Yeah. I thought he was a hard-working young lad back then.
He went fully off the spirit tracks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right. He sure did.
He's had brain injuries in his early life, though, so that makes sense, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be apologetic.
All right. Let's move on to the funny stuff.
Yeah.
Elephant seals. I'm attracted to them intellectually. They're like a train wreck.
That was me.
That was you?
That was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me.
That was you.
Oh, no!
That was me. We were talking. That was Loreboys 14, counting to 3 with Half-Life.
Okay.
That was a Half-Life episode, and it was in reference to what antlions look like. I went off about elephant seals because I guess I'd wikied them that day or something.
You've been obsessed with elephant seals for a while.
They're my Steam picture right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was talking about how they were that they lord over their women.
Yeah, they have like wicked harems.
Yeah, harems.
Yep. It's like a beach master.
It's a harem, yeah.
That's what it's called. In that episode, I forgot the word, and you guys provided it for me, so we're playing it through again.
Yeah.
Their big schnoz is to make mating calls.
So is mine.
My Steam profile picture is Jesus playing basketball with some kids.
And your name is a gendered pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever one you want.
I won't tell you which one.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is a horrible dolphin impression. Picture that.
Oh, okay.
Followed by, it's like the boy who cried epilepsy. Don't fake your seizures or else no one will believe you when you have one.
Oh, that's Peter. That's Peter.
Is it me?
Yes,
it's Peter. Gotta be Peter. That's gotta be Peter. Hey, I got one. That's my first point. I've officially tied Jamie.
Yeah.
Peter, I have a point.
Yeah, Peter gets himself too.
That's 2 points for me then. Yeah. I did get one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So 2-1.
Do I have
one.
To keep my own score, fuck?
Yeah, it'd be better if you guys did, because you're more invested in yourselves
I'm
than
keeping
I
mine. I've only got 1 point so far. I was worried that Jamie was gonna beat me with that 1 point I gave him earlier.
All right, I've got two.
So for anyone who's interested, that was Loreboys 17, Dishonored Discharge. Dishonored?
Yeah.
The game.
Dishonored Discharge.
Peter asked I asked if dolphins are in the game. And then Peter just on my old couch just went and like fell over. And then you thought he was having a seizure. And then he says, "That's the boy who cried seizure."
Okay, no one believed him. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
Still dumb.
When you give me the context back, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. next one.
Fuck, you really did. Like, this is truly good. Like, I can't believe we said some of these things.
I spent like 5 hours today just like playing World of Warcraft and listening, like dropping the needle in different places. And, okay, that's funny. That's funny. That's
oh my
funny.
God.
Robin Williams was a bad, bad man. In the movie Miss Doubtfire. Let me finish.
I think I remember Ethan saying that.
I want to say Jamie.
It was Ethan.
Ah.
That was Ethan. That's in Loreboys 19, Dungeons, Dragons, and Fishing Pots.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first kettle of fish?
Yes.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Okay, this is the one, Mecha Paladin, we were talking.
We're not getting a context behind me calling Robin Williams a bad man?
I couldn't figure it out. I like reverse.
Okay, well, that does sound like me.
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. So I wrote for context, Ethan making a big funny.
Okay, good.
All right, yeah, he did.
Accurate.
Sounds like something Ethan would do.
Mm-hmm.
So today, I mentioned in the Discord, for all you guys who are out there, join the Loreboys Discord. Let's put that out there somewhere, guys.
I'll put a link
on
our website.
Shout out to Mecha Paladin.
Yeah, I'm more active in it now because I'm in a WoW guild that I'm actually on Discord all the time. Mm-hmm. But Mecha Paladin said, you guys said this thing.
Oh, this is the one?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, you said this thing about
it does sound ridiculous.
A water snake and learning to code or something like that. And he didn't know what it was. He said he had to pull over because he was laughing so hard. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'll see if I can find it. But
so everybody pull over preemptively. This is gonna be funny.
This is gonna be a real slapper.
So just to give you guys an idea, I had 4 or 5 hours before the episode. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, I'd try and find it, but no promise, because I'm literally going through probably close to 200 hours.
Well, I think we said, what was the math again? 900,000 hours? Something like that?
If everybody listened to it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, everyone was.
If one person listened to it all the way through, we're probably close to like 150, 200 hours.
40,000 downloads times 200 episodes. Divided by 40,000.
Has nothing to do with that.
Well, if you divide by 40,000.
Anyways, I dropped the needle and I found this joke an hour after he brought it up, so we were super lucky to find it. So the quote is, I have to imagine that a water snake is the only python that can talk to the sea. ... A what?
Okay, Jamie said it. Yeah. Peter was the what?
Yeah, you said it.
So this is actually Ethan said it. Ah! Peter was the what?
Ah!
So Peter, you got the what right. But
I gave myself 0.5.
Yeah. Fuck you.
That's from LB23, the Simian Scuttle.
Oh, that's a Destiny one.
Destiny Part 2.
Oh. Yeah.
And
Simian Scuttle.
Coming into Season 2, hitting that Destiny hard.
Yeah, we were talking about the Vex and their robots,
uh-huh.
And we were talking about how they have different tribes. But the way that they couldn't completely sync up is that they had different languages. So one who has like Python or one who had C++, could kind of meet in the middle, but they were still like they thought differently because their language was different. And then you replied by saying, yeah, water snake could talk to the sea because it's a Python.
Yeah. I think that's a great joke. Honestly. That's very funny.
Yeah.
Good for old me.
Way over my head at that time.
But we all stopped for a solid 3 seconds and then... What?
Just kidding. I'm sorry, my highbrow humor is too much for you guys.
So that one's from Mecha Paladin. Put that in there.
Shout out to Mecha Paladin.
I'm happy
on our Discord.
Found it. Yeah. They still need to put an eyedropper of water on their squid head every once in a while.
Well, this is from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, 100%.
That's right. That's right.
So I get the bonus point. And I'm just gonna cash out.
I'm gonna say you did.
Yep, I did it.
Okay, good.
So that was. Boom. I said that started the the whole Kentucky Fried Chicken tangent.
Okay.
Because we were talking about, this is the Illithid, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they have to keep themselves alive through some sort of
they
means.
Moisten
they,
their...
They eat brains. They generally have mucus on them, and if they haven't eaten in a long time, they tend to dry out.
Yeah.
Okay. But they need to eat, like, one brain a month.
Right. Yeah, and this led into Colonel needed to dab his forehead every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
we were
yeah.
talking about slavery before, so
because they own slaves, the mind flayers own slaves.
Well, so. That's like I remember this section really good because that turned into the picture of like the Kentucky Colonel,
right?
And then I went and found the dress the woman was wearing in Gone with the Wind,
okay.
And that's the dress that's in that photo with the lady on the plantation.
Okay.
But yeah, the. Male Illithid in that one is dressed up like Colonel Sanders, and you had said, "Jeremy, bring up my phlegm bucket."
Yeah,
and that's why he's dabbing himself with like a soaked purple rag. Yeah,
I had the joke that said like the 13 essential spices or whatever.
Okay,
and then you punched it up to say the 13 essential phlegms and mucuses in a bucket, and then it just went from
and
there.
Then, Kentucky. Yeah.
What number do you guys think was that is of 100?
25.
Christ.
Exactly.
What?
Well, the last one was 23. I just guessed 25.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
Give him 2 points for that.
Yeah, wow.
Shit.
What do you add, by the way? I haven't been keeping
track. If I get 2 points,
yeah.
I'm at 4.5.
I'm at 4.
If I get 2 points and the half point I took for saying Peter said what.
All right, we'll call it that. We still got quite a few to go. Star League does sound like a bunch of nerds, just like the UN.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't give Peter a chance.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
That's LB-28. That's Leggy Tanks.
BattleTech.
First BattleTech. Star League does sound like a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
Like the UN.
I just said Star League was nerds, and then Ethan jumped up and said it like the UN.
They are nerds. Look at them.
Yeah.
Bunch of fucking feckless nerds.
Yep. Would you guys drink a cup of lamb's blood if you knew it would make you stronger?
That was you.
Yeah.
That was you. You guys... posed the best philosophical questions on this show, for sure.
Yeah.
You guys got that one. I feel like whenever it's me, you're going to get it more often.
This is a fun question. How vegetarian was I when we recorded that episode? I wish we had that statistic.
Oh, yeah.
Because like when we started, I think I was eating...
No pork.
I wasn't eating pork, but I think I was eating beef and chicken.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think on the show, I've given up both beef and chicken
Are
since.
Are you fish now only?
I'm fish now only. Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, was lamb's blood off the table for me morally?
Peter replied, what, strong against lambs?
Right, yes, because what episode was this?
The BioWare game, the Dragon Age.
Right, yes,
Darkspawn
blood makes you strong against okay.
Episode 35, for those who are looking.
I'm gonna take a half point for that one.
It's called The Taint.
The Taint.
The only name we needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this one made me laugh while I was playing WoW today. Hey, I've been doing it wrong this whole time. I just call her Big Nurse.
Oh, that was me.
What do you think, Ethan?
I'll say it's Peter because he's very confident.
Yeah, it is Peter.
Yeah,
it is Peter.
We were talking the freebie point.
Okay. We were talking about lady doctors.
Yeah, so we started off, someone called someone a lady pope. It was Dragon Age 35, same episode.
Okay.
And we said lady pope, and I was like, like, can't you just say Pope? Like, you wouldn't call someone a lady doctor. And then you're like, yeah, I call them lady doctors. And then we went off for a while. Uh-huh. And then Peter's like, well, I just call them big nurses.
So much beer in my nose. Okay. Okay.
Oops. I'm taking a point for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You guys still keeping count? You're good?
Yeah. I'm good enough.
I'm at six.
I think I'm close to six.
Whatever.
Yeah, 5.5, six. We'll call it.
We're not playing for keeps.
If worms had feet, they'd all have little tiny rainbows.
This is you.
Rainbows.
I remember this quote. It's a great quote.
Let me get through it. If worms had feet, they'd all have little tiny rain boots because they come out in the rain all the time.
Yeah. We're talking about centipedes, I think.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was me. Do you guys know what episode it was?
No.
I'm not going to remember that.
It was Dead Space. It was LB-41, so our 41st episode. The moon is made of meat.
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely the... Yeah. We talked about meat moons on this episode or before this episode.
Yeah. Google your name, The Hedgehog, and there's fan art.
Wait. Oh, Google, that was you who
said
that.
I think I said that because I've done that.
It was you.
It was Peter.
Oh, really?
Peter got it. Yep.
I thought you had done it because Jamie had said it.
No, I've done it. This is why I would have said that.
That's from episode 46.
We all did it after this episode. I remember that. We all did it.
Yeah. It was hilarious. It's episode 46, Chasing Some Tails, and that was Peter with his personal knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
That's a Chaos Emeralds one, right?
You believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Chasing Some Tails.
That's our only
did
Sonic.
Did we do one or two Sonics?
Only one.
Only the one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's the white trash Chaos Emeralds that I drew.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was just like, why does that one have a mullet? they're hillbillies.
Yeah.
When I die, scatter my ashes on DeviantArt.
That's me. Is that me?
Fuck. Yeah, I'll go with Ethan.
It was Peter.
It was Peter, hey, it was me or you, I knew that.
God damn it.
That's episode 57, Teaching Dad to Stand Up to Biff the Magic Dragon. And that was Peter, because I took a lot of my sources from a Spyro writer who left the company.
Okay.
And he continued making the stories and exposing the stories on DeviantArt.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
And then Peter went off about DeviantArt, and I said, no, it's a really great place. And then you're like, yeah, when I die, scatter my ashes on DeviantArt.
Thank you. Hearing Jamie say them is funny, and I feel so bad when it's my quote, and I'm laughing that hard at something I said.
I honestly had a hard time choosing my own, because in virtue of me choosing these, I think they're funny. So to call myself funny is to choose my own quotes.
Which is the same dilemma I'm having now, laughing at you deliver them.
That's why we need a goddamn intern. If you're listening to this show and you want a fucking intern for us, reach out to us. Goddamn it.
We make $6 a month on Patreon.
Yeah.
You can have one.
Yeah. I think we make $3 an hour.
I could kill a lot of rats, but I do not think I could kill a proportional amount of rats.
That was you. That was you. You're lacking in self-confidence. You're feckless. UN.
I'm going to say it was Ethan.
It was Ethan.
Ah, I'm feckless like the UN.
I brought it up, though. So I said, we were talking about rats and squirrels, and I was like, imagine all rats and all squirrels just decided it's time to get us. What do you think we're going to do? Peter's like, I don't know. I got a car. I'll just drive places. I'll drive over them. And then Ethan's like, I don't know. You've got a point. I don't think I could kill a proportionate amount of rats.
To the number of rats that exist in the world.
Yeah. Okay.
However many 100 billion rats exist in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. I like how you called me feckless and it was you.
It was me who was feckless all along, just like the UN.
Sorry, I just read ahead.
oh, boy.
By the way, that was from Is Drano a Witcher? So okay. That was 62.
That's one of my favorite drawings.
Drano bottle cutting a drowner in half.
Yeah.
Oh,
I really did a lot of catching up during my time off now. I've got a lot of shit done.
Oh my god.
Next episode, next line is, I'm anti-visor. I think they're dumb. I want the sun in my eyes.
Okay, was that you? Is that you?
Ethan again.
Oh my god.
We were talking, that's in episode 64, Thickman, and we were talking about
Thickman.
Talking about what Olimar looks like, and Peter's like, yeah, he never opens his eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, because it's always sunny.
Yeah.
And then we all said, yeah, let's get a visor. Let's get a visor for him. And then he's like, well, no, this has to be interesting. I'm anti-visor.
Yeah. Always being a devil's advocate.
Yeah,
being
exactly.
Yeah.
Thickman. That's a good one.
That's a good name for an episode.
Your mind is filled with the thoughts of nut busting.
Okay, that's gotta be Ethan.
I want to say Jamie.
It was me.
Yeah.
That was Stardew Valley. At the beginning of Stardew Valley, you have to put in your favorite thing. And then when you find one of the Stardew drops that increases your energy level,
mm-hmm.
it says your mind is filled with and then puts your favorite thing.
Oh.
So I didn't know
that thing had been nut busted. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I was just filling it out like a meme. And then later I was at the level 100 of a cave and it says your mind is filled with nut busted. Yeah,
busted that's makes good. Me feel good. Yeah.
That was the thing that we listened to that a lot for a while.
Yeah.
All right.
It was our mantra for a bit.
So Typhon is like a serpentine monster from Greek mythology.
Okay. God of War, I'm guessing, is the episode.
Nope.
It isn't.
But
Dad of War.
So here, Oh, by the way, that last one was episode 67, Oyster Boyfriend for Stardew Valley.
Oyster Boyfriend. I remember the title.
So Typhon is
I don't remember why it was Oyster Boyfriend.
Me neither.
Because it was a hot new dating sim. We were talking about
dating clams or something.
Yeah.
So Typhon, just knowing that it's a monster. Typhon, that's probably where the word typhoon came from. Who was that?
You?
That was me. The reason I put it in is because you guys both said that. Don't quote us on that. Never quote us on that. So I wanted to quote us on that. So.
You bastard.
Got him. Fucking got him. 2 years later, got him.
That's a long con. That's investment to a bit right there.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And that was from episode 75, How to Catch an Apex Predator. So we're in
That's Titanfall.
Yeah.
We're in season three. Season three
we're in now. The three-quarter mark. Yeah. So
that was 25 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, even then, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. this is one of my favorite intros. You guys are probably going to know it right off the bat, but I had to include it. You came here to flint stone. I came here to flint bone. So let's yabba dabba do this and get down to bam bam business.
That was me. Yeah.
I could not include that. I started that one. I was like, oh, that's so good. I think that's my favorite intro of all. That was LB78.
That was just me and Peter were there. I remember you weren't there.
I was there for that one.
Really?
It was recorded here. We were sitting in the same position.
Oh.
Yep. Ethan's intro and a bonus one. That's from Our God Has Legs, Manchun Wars.
Yes.
You weren't there for that. You were not there for that
one. I just listened to today, dude. I laughed so hard after you said that. After you said that quote, I was in the room and laughing.
No.
Me and Peter are shaking our heads at each other. You were not on the Manchun. I just listened to the Manchun Wars episode the other
week. I will take 10 fucking points. You weren't there because Ethan and I were like absolutely fucking...
It was me and Peter.
...killing ourselves that episode.
I'm telling you, you were not on the Manchun episode.
How much you guys want to bet money?
Ooh, $100.
Yeah?
150. 200? Let's say 200.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'm 100% down because I listened to it today.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. Cool. $200.
All right.
Baby. All right. I'm going to take that fucking keyboard from you for keys.
All right. Not 2 minutes later, Ethan said, contrary to popular belief, this is not an episode about fucking dinosaurs.
If we get no context for that one?
No. Nope,
okay, good. That's the way to have it.
The next one is they did a Legos with Liavins to get one big Liavin?
You said that.
They did a Legos with Liavin?
To get one big Liavin.
This is recent enough. I think I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I won't take the point because I would only copy Peter. I'll say Peter, fuck.
It was me.
Yeah.
That was Mass Effect.
That was Mass Effect, episode 81. The Reapers did a billion Legos.
The Reapers did a billion Legos was the name of that episode.
That's why I know
that. Red alert. Now everybody get a boner.
That's gotta be me. Come on. The horniest lore boy.
That was in the Fire Emblem episode 85. All clams. Ethan.
None of that sentence makes sense.
Ethan went really hard on that game. You're like, I went really hard on that game. And I was like, Ethan said hard on. And you're like, red alert, everybody get a boner.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my god.
So only two left. Only two left.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
If we had a bunch of pregnant horses on the battlefield, I could get those fools out and launch at the enemy real quick.
Well, I know what episode we're talking about. We're talking about Arthas.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I said that.
Let's say Peter.
It was Peter.
Yeah.
It's at this point, Arthas didn't know how to sword fight, and he was sparring with Varian. And he realized he was spending too much time with... Oh, wait. I have another quote from Peter. He's spending too much time with filthy peasants birthing horses rather than learning to fight.
Oh, yeah. His dumb peasant friend.
Yeah.
Ogden.
We gave him a name even though he didn't have a canonical name.
No, he has a canonical name and a wiki page, but we said, no, it's Ogden.
It's Ogden, okay.
Yeah, it's
that's
Ogden.
Loreboy's canon.
Check out the Balnir Farmstead if you guys want to know what the real thing is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And what's that episode called?
That was LB87. And it's a horse named Invincible.
Okay.
Wait, did we do LB69? Did we do a quote from it? Because you fucked up if we didn't.
No, it's
good. Oh, yeah, we do have a
69. Wow, dude.
No, I went from 67 to 75.
Whatever.
Rip.
We'll wait to we'll wait for episode 420.
Yeah. The grassy knoll is like a land card.
That was like, you.
Yeah, I'm going to say you.
100% you. I actually...
What? Oh, really? That was Peter.
Well, now I'm not so confident about my $200 bet all of a sudden.
No, I'm 100% confident with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was Peter, and that was for Magic the Gathering, Corona the False God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about Corona or Jessica. It was someone who was planeswalking so much that they were Forrest Gumping their way into the story. And then we started talking about Forrest Gump being involved with different presidents.
Oh, yeah.
And we started talking about that.
The Kennedy assassination. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it for the Who Said It, that's guys. Right. I had a lot of fun looking it up.
Brilliant.
That was very fun. Oh, my God. We hope you at home enjoyed that. We hope you at home enjoyed the episode. Look into another 100 episodes, I think, boys, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, we're not keen on slowing down anytime soon.
No, I'm having such a good time.
If you like us, let us know. Let us know through reviews on Twitter. Reach out to us. We love hearing from you guys. We know that we're not always good at it, but we do love hearing from you guys. Jamie's going to try and be more active on Discord. I've been trying to be more active on Discord. I think that's where we're going to concentrate our efforts. I still do the Twitter thing personally.
Yeah.
You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man. You can find the podcast at Loreboys on Twitter.
Yep. You can find me on Discord. We'll post that with the episode. I'm also pretty active on the Facebook, so you can find it. Just look up Loreboys on Facebook and you can see that. Either me or Peter will answer you. And the Instagram as well, as much as I can. So
yeah, you can find me at Peter O'Donohue on Twitter, at Loreboys on Twitter as well, because that's the actual one. And then Loreboys podcast on Instagram. If you want any context for some of the weird shit you see there, feel free to ask.
Yeah.
At some point, I guess the next who said it would have to be like, what is happening in this photo? Like hot ones explain that, Graham.
That'd be a good one. Yeah.
That'll probably be a good one.
Maybe we'll do a YouTube special or something for that one. So we can actually show the thing.
That's a great idea.
We do have Extra Life coming up, the charity event for raising money for sick kids.
In November? Absolutely.
That we're going to be doing again this year. We don't know if we're going to be doing another 16-hour. I'm skeptical about a 24-hour just because Jamie's a brand new project manager and I'm busy at work. Peter's busy at work. We're all busy human beings.
Will be, at least.
We don't do this full time because you motherfuckers don't pay us enough to do it yet. No, I'm kidding. We love you. We're busy. We're gonna try and do a 16-hour at least. I think we might actually spell each other this time. We said we would do it last time, then we all hung around for 16 hours, but we might actually do like, I don't know, 666 or something like that,
something
and do
like
18.
Man. I play WoW for 6 hours anyways. Just put a camera on me. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Put a camera on his feet.
Yeah, it'll be 6 hours of dead silence and other than the clicking of the mouse and the clacking of the keyboard.
Yep. And
ASMR.
Yep. I also have a trough for my pizza pockets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You will hear the trough. It's a noisy trough. For anybody who wants to support us financially, you know what? You sons of bitches, you did it already. Thanks so much for listening to the show, guys. This has been... I can't believe we made it to 100 of anything.
Yeah,
I joked on Twitter that I can't count this high. And I was kind of serious. I was half serious about it because never thought we would get this far. It's been a wild ride. Thanks so much for supporting. Keep telling your friends. Keep listening. Keep downloading. Keep spreading the love. We love you guys.
Yeah, love you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. I couldn't believe when we had hit 10 downloads, but like 43,000
is just wild. And it was all you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks so much. And that constitutes
a Loreboys.
Out
100 times.
Oh my God.
Out 100 times.
Oh my God.
Out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.